This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
The way I was portrayed, it was like a comedian, some guy that made a fool of himself.
I see.
Yeah.
And do they think that you did that on purpose? Like you were...
Not on purpose, but they just imagine like if there are other Asian singers or artists or musicians that want to make it to Hollywood, by having an audition like mine going viral, it could make it harder for them.
That sucks. So people just started making stories about you like that?
Yeah. So I understand where they come from, but to this day, I would never apologize for my audition.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
The idea that you have to apologize for doing She Bangs is incredible.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, everybody. It's the Crypto King.
And we have a very special guest today. We have the one, the only, William Hung. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for being here, man.
You live next to us.
Yeah, literally.
We just found out we're neighbors.
Yeah, so. That's right.
So that's awesome. So William, I'm just going to fill in some backstory. I'm sure like you've interviewed a million times on it, but... You got started in 2004, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, on American Idol. There is a very, very famous clip of you auditioning to Ricky Martin's She Bangs, She Bangs.
Yes.
Nobody can ever forget it. You're honestly part of pop culture.
It's crazy. I couldn't believe it either.
Like you and my buddy, you know Chocolate Rain, like Adam?
Yeah.
He same thing as you. It's like you guys just do this thing and it explodes, becomes this huge.
Wait,
thing.
Has South Park ever featured you in a cartoon?
Yet.
Okay.
They did do that.
It was like, oh my gosh. So American Idol, was it the first season? It was
three.
Okay. So it was a fairly new show. Like everybody was watching it and you just like took the world by storm with that audition. And then after that, you kind of turned that into like your whole career, which is so crazy and so cool. I love that story. So what happened like directly after that?
Well, yeah, like you said, it's all of a sudden people recognize me wherever I go. They ask me for pictures and autographs as a college student.
Yeah.
I was like, what happened?
Because you were young. Okay. You're in college still.
Yeah.
What were you studying?
Civil engineering.
Oh, my gosh. What made you want to audition for American Idol?
Well, I wasn't having fun with academics. I wasn't doing great at school. So one day I saw this picture for a talent show, like a poster. I thought, why not? Let's give it a try, see what happens. And then to my surprise, I won.
It's amazing.
I love that.
That's how I got the confidence to audition for American Idol.
Did you do it with She Bangs or did you start?
She Bangs.
You did. The whole time. You've only done She Bangs.
The talent show and the American Idol?
Yeah. What's interesting is that in the preliminary round for American Idol, I actually sang Two Worlds by Phil Collins because I thought it was better for my vocal range. It was a slower song.
Yeah.
But after I got through the first round, one of the producers asked me, if I know other songs. I told her I sang She Bangs, I won at school, and then she told me you gotta go with that one instead.
That's great.
And that's the one that went down in history.
Oh, in history forever.
Didn't you then eventually get to perform it with Ricky Martin?
Yes, many years later. It was so surreal. It's also right here in Las Vegas too.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Was Ricky cool about all of it?
Yeah, he was so happy and thrilled to meet me. He congratulated me and my friend that was there for me.
Wow,
yeah.
Crazy.
That's so funny. Where was it in Vegas?
It was at the Monte Carlo.
Okay. It's no longer in existence. R.I.P. Monte Carlo. But we used to stay there when I was a kid and it was like, it's very fancy hotel.
Yeah. Back
in those days. So we actually, me and... I didn't even tell them this, but me and William met playing poker at Red Rock,
yes.
Which I will get into in a little bit. But So you, I wanted to go back to the story though, because I think that it's just so incredible how when I first started talking to you, I said, I didn't recognize you right away. We just started talking about what we do for a living, and you said that like you make short videos, like shout outs to people. And I was like, well, what do you do to make shout outs? And then he was like, well, I'm William Hung. And I was like, oh yeah, I kind of thought so. So now you kind of like transition to doing like shout out videos and stuff.
Yeah, on Cameo.
Cameo. So people just like book you to leave voicemails or like say happy birthday to their friend or something.
Right, like motivational message, like cheer them up when they're down, you know, graduation, all that. Yeah,
that's awesome. So fun. When did you start doing that?
I did it during the pandemic. I was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago.
So how did? Because you did some TED Talks too, right?
Yes.
Like you really went on a whole path. What snowballed everything? You did the show and then everybody knew who you were. Then you did talk shows. And then like, how did you keep that going?
Well, I would say it's luck and opportunity, like chance as well. So what happened was after my audition went viral online, I got a record contract from Koch Records. So that's a big part of how everything started. Like once I signed the contract, I know it was a point of no return.
Yeah,
I was like committed to it.
What did your parents think when that all happened?
They were not sure at first. They thought maybe, you know, maybe I should finish school. Maybe I shouldn't go for it yet. Because especially my parents, they think that they know I don't have the actual singing talent. Mm-hmm. And I agree with them. I know that's not what I really stand for. It's like, it's not like I'm musically trained or anything like that.
Yeah.
But
you just like have a lot of fun and are passionate about it.
Exactly. But at the same time, it was money was part of it, but it wasn't the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other part is many people just make up versions of story that's not true.
Like what?
Like if you Google my name online, and even like search YouTube videos, you'll see like William Hung portrays Asian stereotypes.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Like you're doing a character?
Yeah. It's almost
people
like
people think
almost,
it's not you.
Well, like, no, it's not that. It's more like because I didn't get represented in the best light from American Idol. Like the way I was portrayed, it was like a comedian, some guy that made a fool of himself.
I see.
Yeah.
And do they think that you did that on purpose? Like you were
not on purpose, but they you know, just imagine like if there are other Asian singers or artists or musicians that want to make it to Hollywood, by having an audition like mine going viral, it could make it harder for them.
That sucks. So people just started making stories about you like that?
Yeah. So you know, I understand where they come from, but you know, to this day, I would never apologize for my audition.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
The idea that you have to apologize for doing She Bangs is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the greatest thing
I've
ever.
Just like the fact that somebody that wanted to try something and go have fun has to like apologize for like the way that it was portrayed by not you. You didn't even, you're just out there having fun.
Exactly.
And they're the ones that are portraying it however they want to portray it in TV land.
Well,
and then
like
people
to
are
assume
interpreting
some grand plan, right?
Yeah.
You got some grand intention behind all this shit. When you're like, I just did a talent show, they said I was fucking rocking it, and then I'm like, all right, I'm gonna rock it on American Idol.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Did you ever like have a downtime, like where you felt bad for feedback that you were getting?
Like, I don't,
because the internet's kind of mean.
Yeah, and then of course there are also people that make fun of me for what I do. It's like there are people that think that I shouldn't be in showbiz because I don't have the raw talent. So yeah,
people think that about everybody.
I know, yeah. Like,
you know, I've read, because I'm a huge Bill Murray fan. I've read people say they hate Bill Murray. And it's like, dude, that guy killed it really hard. But some people just hate people for whatever reason.
Yeah. I think the entertainment industry is just so subjective. It's like, it's an art, first of all. So like, there's no like one talent that, I mean, obviously there are very talented singers, there are very talented musicians, very talented actors. But then there's everyone else, like there's only a few, like a top 1% that are the most talented. And everyone else is just like, just trying to do a good job. And it's very subjective whether I like it or you like it or not.
Yeah, I think...
For example, I hated NSYNC when I was in junior high, and it was a big... it was pretty counterculture there, you know? But 50% of people didn't like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys or pop music back then. So it's like they could have 50% of the population not like their music and still be Billboard hits, you know?
Yeah.
Do you ever get to... Do you ever have fun when you're like at the airport or something? They're like, here you go, Mr. Hung, and you're kind of like...
Well, I think the one of the most memorable experiences, speaking of like airport fans going crazy, there were a bunch of girls that wanted pictures and autographs. So, like 30, 40 girls, like a softball team.
Oh my God.
Yeah, entire softball team. And I try to do as many as I can, but I remember I was rushing to my flight, so I just told them, hey, we got to do group picture. I couldn't do one-on-one anymore.
When were you like... I'm like, I've made it.
Well, I would say probably after I signed the record contract, got paid a lot of money. Like at the time, $25,000. Like how many years ago? Maybe like 18, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That was like life-changing money.
Chunk of change for sure.
And were they like, hey, here's the plan. You're going to do like XYZ songs, or did you have collaboration with them and get to decide what you wanted to do?
Mostly they decide what they think is best for record sales. It worked out pretty well, actually. The first album, Inspiration, was the number one independent album on Billboard's.
Crazy.
I know.
Did you make a shit ton of money from that?
I got pretty good royalties from the first one. Yeah,
good.
Sweet. So you talked about a bunch of girls. So after this all went down, how was your dating life? Did you like just get swamped by fans that wanted to date you?
I actually did have a lot of girls and even ladies. You know, when I go perform, I would meet these random ladies.
Like older ladies?
Yeah, older ladies. They would hold signs like, will you marry me? And I don't even know who they are.
You were like, yes.
I couldn't.
You couldn't.
Good call.
You did get married, though.
Eventually, but yeah. Way later.
Way later. Okay.
And you're still married?
Was she a fan?
No, unfortunately, no. I'm all still right. Single and ready to mingle now.
Single, understood. Ready to mingle, everybody. Back in the game.
Yes.
So you got a lot of like mixed feedback. Obviously, there's people that are always going to be haters that just don't think that you deserve whatever success. And there's just like people like that. Did that ever get to you or bring you down? Were you like, did you ever go through like a downswing where you're like feeling bad?
Yeah, I would say that that one really like didn't impact me all that much, because every day I wake up, I knew that there will be, like you said, maybe, I don't know what the number is, but yeah, it could be 50% of people like me, 50% of people hate me, you
know?
Yeah, it could be like that.
Okay. Yeah, because every time a video goes viral, I feel like you get this whole new group of people who never knew who you were before, and now all of a sudden they're commenting on you.
You get all the judgment and thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, who are you? Where did you even come from? And a lot of people can't deal with that sudden, especially with viral videos where it's like sudden fame. You go from like nobody knows who you are to like everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
A lot of people go crazy from that. I was reading about like reality TV stars that like they just weren't used to being famous or like in the spotlight. And then afterwards they like have to go check into mental institutions and stuff because they feel like they're spiraling.
Yeah, you have a really good attitude about all of it.
Yeah, you do.
Because I'm surprised that, I mean... Like the way even though you talk about going through all that, you have a very cheery demeanor about it, which, you know, kudos.
I mean, this is 18 years later, too, and you're still going. What drives you the most, do you say?
I would say it's just a personal choice in life. You know, like do I want to wake up happy or do I want to wake up feeling sad? Right. It no matter what you're going through, like there's always going to be obstacles or things not going your way. I would say when you ask me about the biggest emotional downswing was actually when I got married and divorced twice.
Oh, okay. To the same person?
No, different.
Oh, okay. Wow. It was just like love in general, the love swings.
Yeah, it's like I didn't know who I was looking for. I didn't know the other person well enough.
Yeah.
I was just rushing into marriage, especially the first one, because when I saw the movies, like, wow, this should be easy, right?
Yeah.
Happy Hollywood ending, but it's not.
Yeah, happily ever after. I feel like a lot of people do that where they just think, oh, well, that's the next step, you know, like, oh, first I meet the person and then we get married.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Yeah. That's what I was thought. I was so naive the first first time around.
Were your parents hard on you about that? Were they like, hey, like, don't get divorced. That sucks.
No, they were part of the problem too, unfortunately.
Nice.
because they wanted me to get married.
Oh, I see.
So I felt that pressure from them.
I see. That makes sense. I mean, people put their own pressures on you based off of their projections.
Do they ever still give you shit about not being a civil engineer?
No, but they always hop on me about like, how come I don't get a normal job?
Yeah.
That's so funny. I feel like we've dealt with that before too. Like,
oh yeah, everyone that I know, his parents is basically like that.
Yeah, in any kind of weird industry. Yeah, where it's not like the normal industry.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in the beginning when YouTube wasn't really known as a career yet, it was kind of like stuff that you were doing on the side while you're trying to do stuff in the entertainment industry. And our parents' generation just doesn't understand it at all. We barely understood it at all.
Did you ever think, like, growing up or anything, like, I have a creative side of me at all? Or were you just very much, like, rigidly, like, oh, no, I got to keep it all. That's all silly. I got to be very methodical about my professional life.
That's a good question, because I didn't get the sudden like fame from American Idol audition, I probably would just finish school, be a engineer, math teacher, more traditional. Yeah.
That's so crazy to think that your life could be completely different.
Yeah.
Obviously you're happy doing what you're doing now.
I do.
Well, that's also, I mean,
go ahead.
Can you talk about poker a little bit?
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna.
That's fascinated me when Nikki said that you're playing poker now. I've heard a lot of people, by the way, just suddenly like transition into poker. What sucked you into it?
Well, I remember I got invited to perform at a casino in Reno back in 2005, and then I was playing the 1-2 limit games at the time. That's how I got started.
Yeah,
and I won a couple hundred dollars, and I thought that was so cool, amazing, easy money.
Yeah,
of course I had beginner's luck.
Of course, but that's they do say like if you win in the beginning, you're more likely to continue playing poker. Whereas if you lose in the beginning, you're like, I hate this game. It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. It's a scam. Yeah.
When did you start like really like getting into playing more often? Well, actually, like when did you move to Vegas?
I moved to Vegas in January, this year.
Oh, right. That's right. January this year. And what made you move here? Was it for poker or was it?
Or taxes.
Actually, I don't mind putting it out there now because I already shared it earlier today in other like public interviews. So I actually have a vision for myself like making millions of dollars from blackjack, because I was watching movies like 21.
Yeah, dude.
What
was that recent one that came out? There was a recent one. I can't remember.
Rounders?
Counter?
Well, that's not recent.
No, it was like Card Counter or something like that.
Ocean's 11, maybe.
Yeah, they do that. The Hangover, they did that. Remember? He played, Zach Galifianakis played blackjack to get them back a bunch of money.
Oh, I've totally forgot about that.
It was a famous scene, but a lot of memes about it, but that's fine. But so are you a guy who like you watch a movie and you're like, okay, that's fucking me in 2 years, like kind of thing?
No, it's just that I always thought that I needed to apply my talent in math somehow. So because math is my major, got a master's in business.
Yeah.
So somehow I need to apply like that knowledge somewhere.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. You're publicly saying right now that you're looking forward to counting cards in Las Vegas.
Unfortunately, this dream is already very short lived.
I see.
Unofficially.
Yes.
It's jokes. It's entertainment.
We're just kidding. This is a fun.
There's no illegal ramifications here. So yeah, I actually watched your stories about how you were trying to win your friend a free room.
Oh yeah, that one too. That was crazy. There was a situation where one of my friends she wasn't feeling well. I don't want her to worry about like getting another room at another hotel, you know, on the strip.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, maybe I could take a chance at baccarat at the Wynn. And little did I know I could be running so bad and give away like 11 grand a night.
Wait, what exactly happened?
So he was trying to win his friend a room, because if you get enough points or you could get a room in comps.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah.
And instead, he ended up losing like thousands of dollars that he could have just bought her.
Yeah, 11 G's.
He was like, I could have just paid for her room.
They don't just give you a room at that point. They're like, thank you for 11 grand.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
He got the room, but it was the most expensive.
It was a happy ending then.
I would not do that again. Because you know, so just if you don't know what Baccarat is, it's basically a 50-50% guessing game. Of course, the house has the edge because, you know, you have to pay commission or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, when I played the game, I did not expect to be down that much.
Right, it's kind of like you're gonna win some, you lose some, and you kind of break even by the end of
Baccarat.
Right,
you lose a little bit. It, like, to me, like, even if I lost like a few hundred to a few thousand, I was okay with it.
Oh my god, losing.
You keep thinking like, well, I can't possibly keep losing.
Lose that much.
So you just keep going.
And I hate to break it to you, brother, but Bellagio, I've gotten a room there for like $75 sometimes.
I would just pay for it.
Yikes.
I'm sure by now you probably have players clubs at all the casinos, and like you can get a lot of comps there.
Yeah.
Like the MGM, free parking, free valet. A lot of perks. Also, if you're just a Nevada resident, they give you free parking in a lot of places.
Yeah.
But you recently won a poker tournament at South Point, right?
Yes.
How'd that go?
It was good. It was great. I mean, I wish I run that good in other serious tournaments. But I just caught all the cards at the right time. But I don't mind sharing that, you know, something I do is, it could be one of my trade secrets, but it's not really a secret.
I'm a cheater.
No. Okay, okay. I just shove all in a lot. Because in turbo tournaments, like especially in smaller buy-ins, like people are afraid to go broke. They're not gonna call it unless they have like aces or ace queen or whatever, yeah. Right?
Like this one, like this doofus right here.
Me having aces, I always have aces. Yeah. Don't shove on me.
That's true.
Don't shove on me, bro.
That's right. She'll publicly say she always has aces.
I always have aces. Nice. Every time.
But what sucks you into poker then? Because you started out, like you said, wait.
Well, math. So
math sucks him into poker.
Do you think that is that what you felt like? Oh, I have an edge on the math part. Do you study?
I do. Yeah. I actually like very serious. Get into the solver land, mm-hmm, with simulations and all that stuff.
What's your favorite solver?
Pio.
Pio. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that one's very popular.
What's a solver, guys? For people listening.
Excuse me, for the plebs out there. There's computer solvers. So the game has not ever been completely solved by computers. Like, chess has been solved. The computers can play a perfect game.
Deep Blue
against Kasparov.
And
they can beat you. They can beat humans. They've even solved limit poker. So computers have solved it. Just an algorithm that does enough hands and statistics that it knows exactly how much you should bet and blah, 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 blah. And it can, and there's like a formula where statistically you can win over the long term if you continue to play a game theory, an optimal gameplay of a game theory, that you would be profitable in the long run. And so No Limit has not been solved yet, but there's been spots that have been solved. So you can study like pre-flop range charts, and it can tell you like certain spots that it solves that you can learn over the long run, where like your statistical probability of winning that hand, you only have to be right like 1 out of 5 times, or if you bet this amount, you're giving yourself the right odds to continue playing the hand even if you haven't made your hand yet, or if they bet a certain amount, you can call that amount.
You spend a lot of time with those, with the solvers.
Yeah, I do. The other resource I use is Crush Life Poker.
Yeah.
So yeah, I studied those kind of things. You know, I'm not crazy, you know. I'm not studying like 8 hours a day, that sort of thing.
I would never do that.
Somebody no, here maybe
crazy
does that.
People do that. That's crazy.
She does a lot, I would say. Especially in the beginning.
Yeah, it's true. I'm a little bit of a nerd.
Yeah. Okay, so you're playing, you're doing solvers. How many hours a week do you give to poker, you think?
Right now, not as much. It just depends on whether the games are good. I would say that in the last month in July, or even in June, when World Series of Poker was here, the games were really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I put in between 80 to 100 hours for the month.
Wow.
Yeah. By the way, when he says the games are good, it means that there's bad players there. The very profitable tables to be playing
yeah,
at.
Yeah, good thing you did clarify that.
Yeah. Some people get confused. Like, what do you mean the game's good? Oh, you mean lots of good players? No, they're bad players. So it's good money.
Yeah, that's yeah. right.
So the World Series brings good. Out everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, from all over the place. Well, there's a lot of people that are tourists that they know the World Series is in town, but they're way too scared. They never play the series, but they kind of want to get that little fix of like playing poker. They played it at their, you know, at their college dorm once, and they know how to play, but they don't. They've never really played, and so they just kind of go and they're like, "I have $500. I'm ready to like play with it."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, the games were very, very good. So you moved to Vegas from California?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I see why it's tax savings for sure.
Yeah.
Is that why?
Well, it's definitely one of the reasons.
Yeah.
But the blackjack dream. So yeah. How much time would you say you devoted to blackjack?
It's actual playing time is not that much because the way I manage you know my risk and try to last as long as possible was that I only play between 30 to 45 minutes each casino each day. And then if I want a lot of money, I try to take a break from the casino for a few days or even for a week.
Okay.
So I manage it like a business. I don't want, so look at it from the other side, right? From the casino's perspective, right? I don't want to let them feel like, oh my God, this William Hung guy is taking us for $5,000 every single day.
Right. True.
Yeah.
So you ever have a pit boss come up? He's like, geese.
You ever have a pit boss come up? He's like, hey, Bill. Yeah, I gotta have a word with you over here.
Yeah, but every casino is different. Some of them, when they do it, it's already too late. It's one shot. They told me I can't play anymore. Other times, some casinos. I don't want to mention the names, exact names, but what they do is that like there are like supervisor walking over, hawking at me, staring at my action. So that's actually better for me because that tells me I need to get out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
How can they tell? I've watched some videos about this,
but your betting patterns,
right?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
yeah, because you know, like when you're more probable to hit your hands, so you start betting bigger.
That's right. Yeah, you just can't. There's no way for you to hide that. It doesn't matter which system you use. The bottom line is that you want to wager more money when there are more face cards and ace left in the deck.
Got it. But couldn't you just? If I'm a tourist and I know that generally, couldn't I just start like do that?
They use a certain amount of decks in the I don't count cards, so I don't know. I know card counters and people who have wanted to teach me how to card count, so I know like very basic principles of it, but I know that there's a formula and they can tell like when you know the formula.
Indeed.
By your betting patterns.
And you know this formula.
Yeah, it's not rocket science. Like it's low cards, high cards. You could Google it. It's not rocket science. It's actually easy to learn. And that's why, you know, casinos have surveillance to figure this out very quickly as well.
Have you been killing it?
I've done well, but it's not like I got rich from it. You know what I mean? Beautiful. I only make like $60,000. It's not like taking money.
That's sick.
That's pretty decent for playing 45 minutes a day.
You've seen these teams, right, that they go. They like actually migrate all over the U.S.
He
or wherever.
The 21.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, but I've seen that. I've just found out about this because I haven't watched 21.
Oh.
And so yeah, these just for people listening, there's teams of, and they're bankrolled by other people, and they go and they take down casinos, and then they can try to move around and avoid the pit bosses. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
So you kind of did that on your own.
Yeah, I did it on my own. I don't have a team at all. It's more like just self-learned, self-taught. Mm-hmm. And then I made a lot of mistakes along the way. Not necessarily like lose a lot of money, but like there were times and situations where I know I got too greedy. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't as greedy, maybe I would have lost it longer. But, you know, at the end of the day, at some point, they got to figure it out, you know, because casinos is a business, you know,
yeah.
Even though I feel bad, I had to look at it from their perspective, too. Casinos don't want to lose money either.
You're so nice.
You're so nice when you're taking them for $60,000, bro.
Only $60,000. Yeah, spread out.
Just a nice amount.
Spread out.
Yeah.
Not just one casino. They can afford it. Well, give me a break.
Well, speaking of breaks, we're going to take a break.
Yes.
And we will be right
when we come back. There will be more. More Hung. Hang on.
I don't get it. More Hung?
More Hung. After the break.
I don't get it.
That's his name.
Oh.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we are back with our special guest. And I wanted to ask you, because you do, you're kind of like, you do a lot of things that you're passionate about. You're doing Cameo. You will go sing on a whim on a national TV show. You are doing blackjack and poker. What is a day in the life of William Hung like? What's your typical day like?
Well, there is no typical day for me, but I do have certain routines I need to do every day.
That's okay.
Cameo would be one of them. I usually try to record those videos right away in the morning after I get settled in. And then right now I also got into sports betting a little bit. I got into the, you know, playing with the predictive markets. Mm-hmm. So for those people that don't know predictive markets, it's kind of like a gambling place in the online, but it's not, they don't call it gambling because you're technically trading. You're betting on whether there's, you know, for example, how many cases of COVID do you have for America, you know, or
it's a huge market.
Yeah. It's a huge market.
Absolutely huge. People don't really know how big it is, but it's gargantuan.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I always thought it was silly that poker is considered gambling, even though it's a skill-based game. So you can't play it online in a lot of states, but then like you can still, you know, bet on fantasy football.
Exactly.
Online. Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in the derivatives market, like you can do, there's all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. In the stock market. Like, yeah. Exactly. Oh, I wanted to ask you, have you ever read the book Beat the Dealer?
Not yet.
Okay. So that guy, I think he's the one that inspired the movie 21. But he wrote a book because he was like one of the first like card counter people, and he wrote that book, and he basically, you know, says the whole formula that he uses. But then he ended up going into the stock market because he said he can win way more money doing that using a similar formula, and it's not illegal. Like, he won't get beat up.
He's
by
probably using algorithms.
Casino. Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things.
Kelly
right now.
Formula.
Yeah.
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 Are you so part of your daily life? You wake up and you're like, I'm gonna fucking sports bet today, or you're like, I'm gonna do some gambling on predictive markets? Like,
yeah. It's part of my things I do in the morning, because I just to put it out there, I use a information called Raymond Sports Info, for example.
Okay.
Like that's pretty well known in Vegas. It's not like public, like famous, but he's done very well. He's got a good community, so I trust his ideas and stuff like that.
So he gives you like his best bets, kind of.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah. So he's like an analyzer.
Yeah.
Okay. And then so you
it's not an analyzer. It's more like he just give you the place.
Oh, okay. So you do that. You do your cameos right away. Anything else in your routine?
Yeah. So I do the sports bets. I do the predictive markets bets that I know are doing well for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have multiple things going for
you
me
bet
right
on
now.
COVID every day.
No,
like I think cases are going up.
No. Only if I'm very confident, like today, like it'll be below 118,000 cases.
Wow.
Like
you have done that. That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
I've never heard about this.
That's, predictive markets.
Yeah, stuff? Predictive markets.
What site do you use for that?
Koshi.
Koshi.
KALSHI.
Okay.
So the ones I do more regularly, that's easier to beat, mm-hmm. make money from, would be like the daily stock market price, the daily forex price for euro and yen. Those are much easier to do well in.
Huh. Interesting. That's like a whole thing.
I have some buddies who love doing that stuff, like all the forex stuff. I don't touch it, but that's super interesting.
Yeah, I'm not risking that much. So it's all relative. So the way I approach it is like a small chunk for me. Like, you know, I set up like a $5,000 account. It's not going to change my life if something goes terribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I run it like a business. I only risk maybe like $50 to $100 for each bet.
Nice.
So you're really good at bankroll management.
Right. That's how I've been doing well over the years.
Yeah.
I'm not the richest guy, right? But I think that, you know, one of my greatest strengths is to manage risk pretty well.
Yeah, I would say so.
That's the key,
for
man.
Sure. So with your, I mean, because you still do entertainment stuff too, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you have an agent or a manager for that? How do you like go about doing those kind of gigs?
I say right now, most of the gigs I get just happen naturally. Like people would reach out directly through my Facebook, email, Instagram, whatever. I do have someone that's interested to be my agent, but that's still under negotiation.
I see. Mm. Yeah, so we won't say any details
but
about that.
But you do. I had a buddy who swears yeah, he saw you do some corporate events or something.
Well, we got invited to.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, we got invited by JK Films to.
Do you know those guys?
No. Sorry.
Even better. Okay, I can't wait to sign on with that later.
But it was a Deadpool karaoke.
That's
oh,
right.
Yeah.
My buddy was there.
Yeah, I performed with him too.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, Joe. That's
mm-hmm.
his name.
Joe.
You would never remember that because he's a nobody. But there you go.
Yeah. That's when we were sitting down playing poker, I was like, oh my God, we were supposed to go to that, but I got sick. So I couldn't, we couldn't go. But it was right before COVID. Like
yeah,
right before the pandemic.
Then,
yeah.
Okay. So then you got into all this gambling stuff. It's so funny. What about sports, man? What kind of sports do you watch?
I watch baseball, but I don't really watch that much. It's okay. More like I trust the resource I use to make my plays every day, and just I treat it like an alternative source of income.
Got it.
Will grow over time.
Yeah. Do you do you have like an end plan, or do you just kind of like follow what feels good, like what you're passionate about at the time, that this moment in your life, or like is it structured, or do you just kind of like go with it?
I do have a vision.
Yeah.
If money and resource is not an issue, I want to create some kind of online school or education to teach people about how to take, you know, smart and calculated risks.
Yes.
Nice.
That's awesome. I would love that. I think everyone should learn stuff like that. I've been, obviously the student loan debt crisis is like really big. Everyone's talking about it on Twitter, everywhere. Every time I go on Twitter, there's like a huge thread about student loan debt forgiveness and like, you know, people who they take advantage of these 18-year-olds who don't get taught about like interest and how like if you just make minimum payments, you're never gonna pay your.
They find out 8 years later they haven't paid it off at all.
They find out it's more that they owe more than their original loan.
Exactly.
And I'm like, wow, you know, that's crazy to me because my parents were in finance, so I learned, you know, very young. But if they weren't in finance, I don't think I would have learned it in school. Like my dad and mom taught me about it because they got into debt with credit cards, and like then they went into finance and they're like, okay, never do this, or like always pay off this much of your credit card.
Yeah, how did you learn to manage risk? Because that doesn't come inherently to a lot of people.
Yeah, I would say it's like part of it came from my math background. You know, like especially statistics classes. Like that's my favorite subject, statistics.
Yeah.
And then I figure out like how can I apply it in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, poker is a great sport for that.
Is there what's the biggest like L you've taken on an investment?
Stock market. I lost over 60 grand this year.
Oh, whoa. No.
What were you doing, tech stocks?
I was trading options. Oh. I was overconfident, you know, with trading tips like from sites like Benzinga. So I just risked too much. It's not because they're bad trades, but I didn't know that, wow, you know, if I risk 5% of my account and I'm wrong like 5 or 6 times in a row or 10 times in a row, it could happen. And that's right. How I end up in such a miserable situation.
So many people don't realize that. It's such an easy mistake.
How do you keep from getting tilted about that?
Well, I just had to wake up and tell myself, hey, you know what? Whatever is done, lost is in the past. I need to stop doing that. You know, I still have a good life. Don't mess up that good life.
Yeah, some people try to revenge trade their way out of that, right?
Yeah.
Like
that's the worst thing you could be doing.
Make aggressive
moves. I think you have a really good emotional risk management too. Like you seem to keep a really positive attitude about stuff. Is that inherent, or did you learn that from somebody?
Do you mask well?
I would say I think it's more natural for me, but at the same time, I know I'm human too. There are times where I was down on myself. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't do anything for the day.
Yeah,
a few days, a few months, even at a time.
You're just like beating yourself up.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, that when I lost that 60 grand stock market earlier this year, it was a good example. I was down on myself. I was like, what's the point?
Yeah,
you know. And part of it is not all my losses came from trading. So about half of it just came from a natural downturn. Right, it was like big up and big downswing.
Yeah.
You know, from the market. And so I got frustrated, you know, with my retirement account and with my, you know, so-called financial advisors.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
For sure.
It's like, what is going on?
We'll make a commission no matter what.
Right.
Upswing, downswing, they always get paid.
Yeah,
doesn't
exactly.
matter to them whether they gave you good advice. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Did you have any like any idols growing up like that? Like what
hey,
inspired
nice
you?
Hey, nice use of that word.
Any American idols?
I got that pun.
Growing up, I don't know.
Who'd you look up to the most?
I would say people probably don't know this once because I was in Hong Kong. At the time when I was young, there were like they called 4 heavenly kings in Hong Kong.
Okay.
So there are people like Leon Lai, Jackie Chung, Aaron Kwok. You Google, they are pretty famous in Asia. So those were the people I look up
to. What do they do?
Singers.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
What about them?
Well, I don't know. I just like their songs. I think they're handsome. I my hairstyle partially I'm influenced by Leon Lai. I really like him.
Okay. That's really cool. What do your parents do? Are your parents in like a traditional field where they're like, this is such a weird choice for our son?
Yes, it's my mom. Like when I talk to her, like weekly, because she always tell me like how come you are just doing all this crazy hustles,
Yeah.
You can't do this forever. When are you gonna grow up?
Or can you?
Bro, you've done it for 20 years.
18 years, yeah.
I think she lost.
Yeah, I mean, I love stories like that just because it's like. Everyone says you can't, but then you just do because you're just being pulled to do that, and it works out.
Well, and you're taking risks.
Yeah,
but you're managing the risk really well. But that's like
it's calculated.
Anybody
risks.
That I know who like quit their job years ago or whatever, that's all they've been doing since. Is because of that they don't have that safety net. They actually are more likely to take a little more risks, but that helps build wealth.
Yeah. So I did work a normal job for like 8.5 years. So that's something people might not know about. It wasn't.
Yeah. What did you do?
I work as a statistical analyst for the sheriff's department in Los Angeles for a couple of years. And then eventually I got transitioned to work for public health for like 6 years.
Wow. Yeah. I definitely didn't know
that.
What do
you guys do with stats for the sheriff's department?
Well, it's not that fun as people think.
It sounds like pre-crime stuff. Like, yeah, we know the crime's gonna happen.
Exactly.
Here.
Like so it's more like the numbers, the total crimes for monthly, yearly. So you know, it's still important because it has to deal with the reporting rules and everything. But it's not as exciting as I thought.
It does sound very exciting, so misleading.
Not as good as doing shebangs in Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah, give me a break, dude.
What's next for you? Do you have, like, I mean, you said blackjack, but are you kind of like working on the online school stuff, or
yeah, that would happen. I could see in the next year or two.
Oh, nice.
Because you know, as I transition, I'll definitely get back into trading. I just need to manage risk, you know, better. You know, have my own system and trust myself more instead of just blindly following somebody else's suggestions and advice.
You gotta lose to win, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to lose to win. I just lost $1 million in crypto. And that's what I have to tell myself right now.
Wow.
You got to lose to win.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Gotta,
I
think it's working. Spend money to make money.
I think it's working.
Yeah.
I only ever put a very small amount in, but still, it doesn't mean it didn't hurt.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. Me too. Yeah. I also follow the advice of you got to diversify. So I had some money in crypto as well.
Mm. Oh, okay. What'd you have?
I have Bitcoin ETH.
Okay.
Bitcoin. Nothing fancy. No.
Some
staples.
Yeah, good staples for sure.
Yeah.
That's my, you see.
Is there anything that you wish you would have done if you could go back and tell yourself, or are you like pretty like happy with everything?
I would say that one of my biggest regrets and probably my biggest weakness in my life is that I have a tendency to jump in head first and take huge risks. Right away, relative to whatever the situation is.
That's why you got into risk management, because you're like, how do I temper this?
Right. Jobs in the past, I will never forget one of my former boss. He says, like, you know, you are the kind of person that always going head first. You know, the other you know, coworker that I work with was like the total opposite, right? Mm. She's very deliberate, but it could be paralysis analysis as well.
Right. Yeah, that happens. So there's like a middle ground that you have to find there.
Yeah. So I would say that you know, moving forward, like I wish I wasn't so like too overly optimistic with some of the risks I took.
I see. Well, that's how you learn, though. So
I do. Two marriages is a risk for sure.
That too. I would still look to find the right girl, but you know, I probably won't like marry right away.
Not jumping in this time.
Old
Bill's on to you. Was there like in those marriages? Is there something that you can take away that you can share with the rest of us about how you think you'd approach a relationship next time?
I would say the most important is to ask more questions, focus, getting to know that person's values and vision. Mm-hmm. What does she really want in her life? Not jump to conclusions. Don't assume anything. Even though you know I have how to say it. It's like so. Even you had that hunch. Oh, you might expect this. It might not be true.
Right.
Is there anything? I always find this to be such an interesting, like, perspective shift. Is there something inside of the marriage, looking back, where you're like, I definitely fucked up there, though? Because we always do that shit where we're the protagonist, right? And in a situation, it's like, well, I was all right about all these things, and they were all wrong about all these things. There's something you can own for yourself?
Oh, absolutely. So for the second marriage that didn't work out for me, I thought I was too self-centered. I was too focused on poker because that was the time when I was working the government job. I was pinching pennies. Things were not going that great. I was struggling, you know, after the first, especially after dumping off a lot of money from the first marriage.
Right.
So, you know, that's why I thought, you know, I have to hustle. I have to do something different. So the biggest decision, and I don't know if I could handle it better, was when I in 2015, I actually got a lot of people that want to, you know, buy my action for World Series of Poker main event.
Nice.
So that was the year I thought, you know what, I need to go for it.
Yeah.
And my ex-wife wasn't happy with that.
I see.
Yeah.
So it was like, was it she wasn't happy with the way you were spending money, or was it that like she wanted to spend more time with you?
I think it's the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had to be away from her, and then she was working, she couldn't be there.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it could totally be hard.
We were talking about how it's interesting that we chose similar. I mean, we've always worked together, and then he got into crypto and I got into poker. And so we understand each other. But if we didn't, because a lot of times at the poker table, there aren't a lot of like, there are some married guys, but they always ask like, will your husband care that you're out this late?
Or
like, yeah, like, oh, my wife won't let me be out later than blah blah blah, like,
yeah,
and
a lot
like,
of guys
I just
in trouble.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, that's so interesting. I don't think I've ever experienced that with Steve, but I can see how it's been an issue with other
if people aren't doing the same
people,
thing
if you don't do
they
the
don't
same thing
or
you're on the same
inside.
Page so I completely agree with your advice of asking questions and making sure you guys are aligned on like values and where you see yourself going.
Yeah,
all of that stuff is so important. Such a good piece of advice. Anything else, Steve, you wanted to ask?
I would say, looking back on your career and everything that you've done so far, would you say like going forward you're looking forward to poker, or you're looking forward to blackjack?
I think the answer is neither. Because blackjack, I'm almost done. There's only a few casinos I could play at. I'll probably be backed out very soon.
Bag, huh?
Yeah, it's like okay, yeah. And like it could be even this month.
You're waiting
next
for casinos
time.
To finish being built. Maybe you got a shot there.
I don't even know, but I'm not optimistic about that one. Poker, I see more like a side hustle.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, it's normal for people for me, the way I see it, that I see things are going right. Like, I need multiple things working in my favor.
Right.
I don't want to just rely on Cameo,
on
for example.
Thing. Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense. Like, having multiple streams of income, basically.
Hey, when people bought your action, how'd you do?
I made it to day two, but I couldn't go farther than that. I got bad beat.
Yeah, me
gotcha.
Too.
It happens.
Same. This was my first year playing the main event, and it was the same thing. It was like day two, like all my flips, I was doing okay, and then the one where I was heavily favored is always the one where I bust.
Yeah, I know. It's not in tournament. It takes so much luck as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The unders got her.
Mm.
I barely know what that means. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Yeah,
we appreciate
thank you so
brother.
Much. Where can they find you for the cameos, by the way?
Okay, so yeah, the best way you can stay in touch with me, you can, for my cameo, you can just go to the Cameo website, look for my name, William Hung. I'm most active right now on Instagram, William Hung Official, but I'm also, you can also find me on Facebook and Twitter.
I actually really want to buy a cameo of you singing just a small piece of Staying Alive for my stream, so I can like when I'm staying alive in tournaments.
<That's>
I just
really
want
good.
Him to pop up with that video.
That's
just
solid.
Like, staying alive. All right.
Well, maybe
cool.
He'll do it free right now.
I don't know the song.
No.
Nice. Good job.
I will invest.
Way to stick up for yourself. Hey, your time is valuable.
Yeah. Check. We'll put all the links in the description. Check him out everywhere: Cameo, Twitter, Facebook. I follow you on Instagram. I think the stories are really fun. You do like funny videos too. So you never know what you're going to get. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to go subscribe. Go over there. And thank you so much for being on.
Yeah. This is a really fun interview. Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
We appreciate
and I'm
you.
I'm so glad that you've never heard of Just Kidding News in your life. That brought a smile to my face.